Hello, folks. This is Pastor Mike Hoggard coming to you from our top secret broadcasting recording compound with another Watchmen video broadcast. I've actually wanted to do this video for some time. I wanted to go right from where we left off in this series to this one. But I realized there was a lot of things that I needed to research, a lot of things I didn't know, some things I needed to piece together in my mind of what really is going on. And I found, in the time that it took me, once I decided that I was going to halt here and do the research, from that time until now, I'm glad I did. I found some things that I think are going to make you aware of the very diabolical plan that exists around us. What we've been talking about is the secret of the seal, and we're talking about the symbols that are on the $1 bill, the eagle with the arrows and the olive branch in his hand, the constellation of stars, the number 13, the 13 rows here on the unfinished pyramid, and the all-seeing eye capstone that seems to make complete something that is unfinished. Something that at one time, these stones were scattered all over the place. Now they've been brought back together for a purpose. And that purpose is to make, instead of many scattered stones, we bring them all together so that there is one kingdom, one ruler. That's what the phrase here above the eagle, that's what he's holding in his mouth, in his beak, e pluribus unum, which means out of many, and here's what I think it really means, out of many, the one. That's where we left off. We were dealing with this idea of the one, how everybody's being brought together politically, religiously, financially, maybe even language-wise. Everybody's being brought back together to be the one, just like the stones here of the unfinished pyramid and the all-seeing eye capstone, finishing it, making it complete. This is, I believe, the kingdom of the Antichrist. It is the Novus Ordo Seclorum, or a new order of the ages, what some people refer to as the New World Order. So we were talking about the one. And I had mentioned, leaving off in that last video, that there was a lot more information that I wanted to share with everybody, and I had this in mind. We're going to continue that series, Secret of the Seal, dealing with the One, and which is literally all over this bill. Here we have One, the One. We have One, One, One. We got ones all over the place on this thing. We're gonna pick back up on that. And we're going to deal with a term that probably you have heard, and it relates to the one. It's called the singularity. Single. Get it? Single. One. They are related. And I'm going to show you in this series exactly how they're related, what the singularity is, how it currently, right now, involves you and I. I mean, stop and think about it. They're talking about electronics and how technology is going to take over here before too long. I'm using it now. I've got an electronic microphone that actually takes the voice signal and digitizes it and sends it over to the camera. And the camera, which is all electronics, takes that video signal and the sound and puts it together in these little pixels and puts it on this little microchip. I mean, that's what it's done. Here, I'm using, instead of pieces of paper, that's so 20th century. I'm using technology here to read to you the scriptures. And so everybody's using technology right now. But have you noticed that it's getting faster? The technology is getting cheaper. It's able to do more things than we ever could have. Well, I wouldn't say that we ever could imagine, because we're going to see the imaginations and the dreams of mankind absolutely play into this. I remember back in 1993, I wanted to buy my first PC, Windows 3.1. You remember those days? Yeah, that was back in the good old days. And I asked a guy, I said, I want to go and buy, I got some money saved up. I want to go buy a PC with a dot matrix printer and this big, massive monitor with this little big screen. And I said, what should I get? He said, doesn't matter. I said, why? He said, buying computers is like getting on a conveyor belt. He said, no matter where you get on, you're already behind. Boy, I tell you what, was he ever right? That was in 1993 that he told me that. That, just so you'd know, I got a PC computer, Windows 3.1. This computer had 2 megabytes of memory. It had an 85 megabyte hard drive. And the processing speed, this thing clocked out at 25 megahertz. I'm not kidding you. And I'm just going, wow, this is way better than the Commodore 64 that I'm using right now. See where we've gone? We're making fun of that, but that was state-of-the-art technology in 1993. I have right here something that is probably, I don't know how many times faster. I mean, we're measuring the processor speed of my iPad in gigahertz and not megahertz. We're measuring the memory of my iPad, probably 4 gigabytes rather than the memory which I had back then was 2 megabytes. We're looking at the storage of this iPad. It's a 64 gigabyte storage capacity, whereas my first PC had 85 megabytes of memory in it, in the hard drive. Okay, this is where we're going. That seems like a long leap, but it took years to get there. But if you've noticed something, that every time we come out with something new, it actually takes less time to get to the next best thing. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. This is what this idea, the singularity, is based on. We'll explain these terms as we move along. But here's what I want to do first thing. I want us to go, we're going to go to Revelation chapter 13. We're going to look at 2 primary characters out of the Bible. And we're going to see how each one of these characters have a role in what is called the technological singularity, transhumanism, human plus, homo novus, a new human, homo evolutus, the man that designs his own step of evolution. This is all that this is going to be talking about. But let's get the goal in mind. Let's not forget what this is all about. And if all of this stuff is happening, it has to be happening for a biblical reason. God has it all written down in the scriptures, even before the first microprocessor was ever even conceived of. God had everything laid out in the scriptures, and this is where we're going. Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. Let's just read the scriptures. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. The beast which I saw was likened to a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Remember, the dragon has been called the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall from heaven as what? As lightning, electricity, electronics. There is a connection here. Think of what lightning actually is, what it represents. You have positive charged ions in the atmosphere, and they are building up in thunderstorms. Massive amounts of positively charged ions touching or coming in contact with somehow, some way, the negatively charged ions or things that are in the ground. Anybody that knows anything about electricity, you take it and you touch it to the ground, and now you have a circuit, and that's what lightning is. Lightning is the fusion of opposites, the sky, the earth, and what's connecting them together. You see that, and it's all with, and we've dealt with the falling and how Satan falls from heaven. He falls as lightning. And what is lightning? It's electricity. That's what electronics are based upon. You can't have electronics. You can't have the singularity if you don't have electricity. And this is what Jesus, I think, is teaching us. He's the prince of the power of the air. What's the power of the air? Positively charged ions, negatively charged ions, coming together, discharging themselves in a bolt of lightning. And what power a bolt of lightning has. We had lightning strike outside of our home here a few months ago, about 10 o'clock, right as we was getting ready to go to bed on a Sunday night. And I said, wow, that was close. And Lisa said, you think it hit anything? Ah, no, it's no big deal. We hear something outside. We go out there, and probably about 50 yards from our house, lightning struck a great big giant cedar tree at the edge of our property. It exploded this tree. There were pieces of this tree 75 yards away that had been blown through the air by this thing. Massive. The air was full of the smell of fresh cut cedar. Have you ever? I love that smell, by the way. Massive amount of power inside of this thing, inside of a bolt of electricity. And this is Lucifer falling. So you kind of get this idea. The dragon gave the beast his power and his seat and great authority. So keep that in mind. Revelation 13:11. Here's the second person we're going to be dealing with. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. He spake as a dragon. Stop right here. There is a piece of software, electronics, that actually has the power to reverse the curse of the Tower of Babel. Remember the Tower of Babel? The Tower of Babel was when God said that everybody's imagination was going to get ahead of them, and God said whatever they imagine to do, they're going to do. Imagination has everything to do with this. So he said, here's what I'll do. I will confound their language so that nobody speaks the same language. And so that's what God did. And he scattered them all over the earth. So now the Novus Ordo Seclorum says, we're going to bring them all back together. But we have a wee bit of a problem in that people still don't speak all the same language. Okay? So in steps Google translating software, and in steps a software called Dragon Naturally Speaking. Your voice, you speak into the computer, and the dragon translates it into bits and bytes and letters on the screen, and probably, I'm assuming, even has the ability or will have the ability to translate it into another language. I don't know if you know this or not, but that's how they did it on Star Trek. You know, the Star Trek series? You had all these people from all these other planets, yet when they appear on the screen, they're all speaking American English. Did you ever wonder about that? Well, it was a TV show, but they had on the Enterprise and everywhere else in the 23rd century the ability to translate from one language to another so that everybody could understand one another. The dragon, he spake, this lamb spake as a dragon. And he's a false prophet. In verse 12, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, watch this now, that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. This is what the false prophet does. The false prophet, his job is to get everybody with their imagination to imagine and build a lifeless image, something made out of gold and silver and stone, like little bitty stones, like sand, silica, which is what silicon is made from. Silicon is the key ingredient or key element in practically all of these microprocessors. You've heard of Silicon Valley in California. It's where a lot of these technology companies had their startup and still have their base of operation there. And they call it Silicon Valley. Why? Because that's what the microprocessors are made out of. So they take this image of gold, silver. Both of those conduct electricity very, very well. In fact, gold does it the best. And stone, silica, and they make an image of a beast, but he doesn't have life. But the false prophet has the ability to give this dead image a soul, give him life, give life into this image that before couldn't say anything. Now he's alive. Now he can speak. And I'm going to show you some things that the singularity represents that I think match what we see here in Revelation chapter 13 and what the false prophet is going to lead everybody into doing. I absolutely think that there is a connection between the false prophet, what he's doing now in the earth, the beast that rises up out of the sea, and the technological singularity. And I'm going to explain all that as we move on. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 16, the Bible continues it and says, he causeth all, let's count, both small and great, there's 1 and 2, rich and poor, there's 3 and 4, free and bond, there's 5, 6, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. And I want you to notice that there's something that the false prophet does, is doing now, that's going to make sure that no man can buy or sell without the mark or the name or the number of the beast. You and I both know that most financial transactions that are done in today's world are done electronically. We're still using paper money. No electronics here. You can still find some dude on Craigslist and swap something out without using money, or you can say, you know what, I got cash, I'll bring it over, you give me that piece of junk that you've got, and we'll call it even, okay? The IRS hates stuff like that because they want to be able to tax it, and they can't right now because it's paper money. And they have a hard time keeping track of all the paper money that's out there in the world. See, this paper money, really, if I were to take this dollar and give it to somebody here, okay, and just say, here, this is for you, the government doesn't know I'm doing that, and they can't tax it, and they can't track it, and they can't stop it if they want to. So what are we getting used to do? We're getting used to using, let's pretend this is my cell phone, we're being instructed by the Isis payment system, get it? Isis, the goddess, Mystery Babylon the Great. We're learning how to use our cell phones in our hands as a means and a way of paying for things. Transactions done all over the world now are done electronically rather than with paper money. And so it just stands to reason that as we approach these last days, when this event is going to take place, that the only real way to control every form of buying and selling in the world would be able to control it electronically. And unless you had the hardware and the software to do it with, you can't buy or sell. See how simple that is? You just kind of make it simple and understand it. Unless you have the hardware and the software. See, I've got a piece of hardware here. It's electronic. It can communicate via Wi-Fi and so on. But I don't really have software that I could use to use my iPad to buy gas at the gas station or coffee at Starbucks. I don't have that. Or food at McDonald's. Okay, don't have that yet. But the cell phones do. What if I forgot? I forgot my cell phone. I don't know how to pay for this. They've got a solution for that. All right. Anyway, let's move on. So you kind of see where we're going here. God mentioned Revelation 13, this idea of a false prophet and what he was going to do. He was going to be in charge of the buying and selling thing, the mark of the beast, and building the image. It's, you always follow the numbers in the Bible. That's Revelation 13. In Acts chapter 13, you have a man that's called false prophet in Acts chapter 13, and he withstood Paul. And Paul, of course, Paul got him. Paul said, how about you be blind for a while? And he was. Deuteronomy 13, here he is showing up again. Deuteronomy chapter 13, let me show it to you. If there arise among you a prophet, or a, look at here, a dreamer of dreams, imaginations, think about it, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And the purpose of the false prophet is to prove who's on God's side and who loves themselves and who'll follow after other gods. That's his purpose. God sends him to decide whose side who everybody is going to be on, like the shepherd dividing the sheep from the goats. God is using the false prophet. He's using Mystery Babylon. He's using all of these things to so that everybody decides whose side they're going to be on. And so you have to decide, am I going to follow the false prophet, the dreamer of dreams, who gives a sign or a wonder, he makes fire come down from heaven, am I going to follow him? Am I going to follow and stick to the word of God? It's all about your choice and how you're going to choose in these last days. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 28. Here's what God told him not to do. This is the role of the false prophet. And I want you to get the language here that's being mentioned. He's going to talk about how they follow after other gods. And he's actually going to describe these gods. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 28. And there you shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. Judges 10, 14. Go and cry unto the gods which ye have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation. You chose the God. We'll see if they can deliver you because you made them with your own hands. Now, stop right here and think about this. Mankind is what God made with his hands. God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. The idea that man is going to become God one of these days, and being a God means that, is it possible that you could create something with your own hands and give it life as well? Think about what the false prophet does in the last days. He causes everyone to build an image from the imagination, from the dreams, an image of the beast, and then gives life to it. Think of robots. The area of robotics right now is basically man trying to build something in his image. Just like God made us, man, in his image, we as a species are trying to make something out of dead material into our image, and then the goal is to give it life. We're making robots, androids, look more human, feel more human, walk more human. They said that was the hardest thing in the world. You look at Osimo from Japan. The hardest thing that they could do was try to teach that robot how to walk upright on two legs. This is very difficult. We're trying to get them to walk, to grip, to use tools, to touch, to see, to hear, to speak, to do everything like men, like human beings, And the holy grail of all of this would be able to build a robot or a machine, a computer, that could think like we think and interact with us as if it were really human. We're trying to make a creation in our image, just like God made us in His image, breathed into our nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. Now man can speak, and man has the ability to think way above all the beasts of the earth. You see what we're doing here? But we're going to end up, according to the false prophet, making gods with our own hands that we will worship. Where do you see what I've got in store for you on this thing? 2 Kings 19:18, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Acts 19:26. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. And so the apostle Paul was trying to tell everybody, see the statue of Jupiter here and Mars and Venus and all of these statues you got everywhere and Diana, the temple, that image you have in there, the one that fell from Jupiter, you made that with your hands. That's not a god. That can't do anything for you. You're praying to it. You're offering incense to it. You're giving money to it. That god can't do anything for you because you made it with your hands. That's the nature of every religion in the world, is to worship not the creator, the creation. They worship the creature more the creator, Romans chapter 1 says. So the wicked nature of man is we're going to make our own gods with our own hands. And we deny and turn away from the God that we couldn't have made with our hands, who actually made us instead of us making Him. Now we're going to bring in a little bit of the concept and the mindset of the technological singularity. And again, I'll explain what that term means in a little bit. We are being inundated, flooded with movies, TV shows, commercials, songs, comic books. Philosophers and scientists are talking news stories being read all over the internet. People putting them on Facebook. They're on Drudge Report, YouTube videos everywhere, showing people the advancements that we're making in technology and putting forth the idea that at some point the technology, instead of being right here, would be inside of us. Now you think, oh, I don't see how that works. I mean, we're all blood and guts and that's this. Watch this. To a born-again Christian, here's what we know from the Bible. God said, I'm going to give them a new covenant, Jeremiah 31. And He said, it's not going to be like the old covenant when I wrote the law on tables of stones and they said, here, do this, and or if you don't do this, you'll die. God said, it's not going to be like that. I'm actually going to take my laws and write them in their inward parts. Paul said, your epistle known of men, not written in stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. See, the goal of any good Christian, thy word have I hid in my heart, the goal of any good Christian, the goal of my life, is that one day I know when I go from this world to the next, I will not be carrying a King James Bible in heaven. I will not be walking around with this big old book saying, oh, praise God, brother, look at me, I got my King James Bible here. We won't be walking around with Bibles in our hands. We'll have the Word of God written in our hearts. Think about it. Think of the book of God and His laws and His statutes and His judgments actually being inside of us, living and breathing and being a part of us. Isn't that wonderful? Look at the opposite. We have these electronic devices that we're hooked to them. Cell phones and tablets and computers and laptops, and now the wearable devices The iWatch going to come out, the Fitbits that you, and the bracelets that you wear, and the Google Glasses, and now the Oculus Rift, the virtual reality glasses, the headset that people's wearing. All of these right now still is technology on the outside of our body. The goal is to take all of this out here and put it here. And I think that we are creating a generation of people who will scream for that. You see, I really don't think the false prophet is going to have to force anybody at gunpoint or threaten to cut their heads off like Islam people do. That's their way of conversion. Worship Allah or I'll slit your head off. Okay? Well, I don't think the false prophet's going to have to do that. I think the false prophet right now is raising a generation of people on this earth that when they finally come up with a way of fitting man on the inside with technology, he'll do it. I absolutely guarantee you he'll do it. So we're being flooded with movies and things like that. We're going to talk about some of these. There's one just came out recently called Transcendence. When I saw that it was being at the theaters, I'm going, I think I got to see this. Well, I didn't watch it at the theaters. I downloaded it legally, paid for it on my electronic device here, and I watched it, and I went, that's where we're going. See, Transcendence is all about this guy played by Willy Wonka, you remember him, and he is a scientist working on artificial intelligence, computers, things like that. And he's dying, and he requests that before he dies, his mind and his soul and his consciousness be transferred into the computer because they think they got it to where it can work now. And sure enough, it does. And now that he's inside the computer, the very first thing that he wants is an internet connection. Isn't that what the first thing we look for when we go to a hotel? I mean, used to back in, you know, the old days, we'd say, has this got color television and air conditioning? First thing we look for when we get to a hotel is the Wi-Fi signal. That's how we are. It's the first thing he's in now, his soul and his consciousness is inside the computer. Now he wants an internet connection. Why? Because now for the first time in his life, he can have access to and have complete recall of every piece of information that's in the universe. And he literally becomes God. But at the beginning of this movie, he's giving a speech, and I want to show you here this graphic here. This is a screen capture from the movie. He's giving a speech, a lecture, and the topic of it is Evolve the Future. And he's being asked the question. His name is Dr. Will Castor. He's lecturing on the singularity, or what he calls the transcendence. And he's asked by someone in the audience, so you want to create a God, your own God. To which Castor replies, isn't that what man has always done? And you know what? According to the Bible, he's right. So the technological singularity is nothing more than the 21st century version of mankind creating his own God. Because in reality, we know for a fact that once we create the robot, the computer, that has the ability to think like man and become self-aware, it's going to be way smarter than us and way more powerful than human beings. So whether we realize it or not, our goal, and I'm saying our, as a species, humanity's goal of building a self-aware machine, computer or robot, it's actually man wanting to make his own God. And isn't that what Revelation 13 really is all about? And so we're going to look at what the name singularity means. Remember, we were talking about the number one here. You see that graphic up on the screen. And then the phrase, e pluribus unum. And in the last video, we were talking about concepts of the One. Jet Li here is the One. And he is the conglomeration or he has the makeup of every human soul bound up into one body, and that's him. Remember Neo in The Matrix. And The Matrix was all about the computers got smart one day, and there was a war, and we lost, and the computers took over. They became the gods. So much so. And the Wachowski brothers, I've watched this series I don't know how many times, and I'm still digging out of these movies religious ideas and themes that the Wachowski brothers put in The Matrix. But the simple part of it is, Neo ends up meeting with the architect. You remember who that is? The architect is the god of Freemasonry, the great architect of the universe. And the architect reveals to Neo that his life is not just some random event, that his life, his purpose, and his being is actually part of what the computer world and the gods who run the computer world wanted. He is the remainder of an unbalanced equation. He is the sum of all of these leftover pieces that now they've come together, and he is the One. All of these leftover pieces added together, he's the sum of that. He is the One. Think about what God said about Lucifer in Ezekiel 28. Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and beauty. And Neo is the sum of everything together, and he is the One. And so in The Matrix, you have the fusion of technology in with humanity. You have the idea that everybody in the world is going to join together as one. Now, we've talked about this before. The problem with uniting all the religions in the world is that we all hate one another. Okay, I'm trying to be nice about it. But this religion hates that religion, and that religion hates this religion over here, and all the religions hate one another. No, you're the liar. No, you're the liar. No, you're not telling the truth. We have the truth. We all do it. I mean, religious philosophy, that's the simple truth of it. How in the world are you going to get everybody to think exactly alike and follow the same God? How are you going to do that? It's never been done in history. Never been done in history. How are you going to get everybody in the world? I'm American. I love America. I don't really feel like bowing and kneeling before the Queen of England. Nothing against her. She's just not my queen. I don't feel like bowing and kneeling before the President of Iran or the Premier of China or anybody else in the world for that matter. I feel like just being an American. I like America. I like her laws, most of them. How in the world are you going to get everybody in the world people are fiercely, fiercely nationalistic, and God designed it that way in Genesis. How are you going to get everybody to all put down their nationalism and be the One? One world government. We use the dollar bill. When I go to Kenya, I got to transfer over to Kenya shillings. When I leave Kenya, I get them transferred back. How are you going to get everybody to use the same currency? How are you going to do that? You have to make everybody in the world think exactly the same way. And even now, I mean, I'm looking at this iPad here. This is a new operating system that Apple came up with, Steve Jobs came up with, that runs iPads and iPhones and iPods only. This operating system doesn't even run the Macintosh computer that Steve Jobs came up with. And Macintosh and the operating system that runs the Mac computers is a variation of the Unix programming language and operating system that goes all the way back to the 1970s. And then you have Linux, which powers a ton of computers in this world. It's a variation of Unix, but Linux and Unix and the Mac OS, they don't operate the same way, and one program in Linux cannot be run in the Mac computer. It doesn't work that way. And then you get into the PCs with Windows. First Windows 3.1, and then Windows 95, Windows 98, Windows XP, Windows Vista, which we won't talk about, Windows 7, Windows 8. Now they're talking about Windows 9, and the programs on Windows 8, the programs that were running on Windows 98 don't run on Windows 8. I mean, it's changing, and they're even in the then you got Android. Oh my goodness, you got all the Google phones and the Android phones out there running a different operating system. See, they're not all speaking the same language, except when you get down to the core. Because if you don't know this, every computer in the world actually does speak the same language. It's called binary. And it goes all the way back to the days when they were building these massive mainframe computers in these university buildings, and in these you'd have to have this massive building, this computer taking up three floors, costing tens of millions of dollars, all to get it to put out a card that says 2 + 2 = 4. And you had guys in lab coats with clipboards that were constantly going around replacing vacuum tubes, because they didn't have transistors back then, and flipping switches to program the computer. Flipping switches. The switch was either on, and this electrical current ran through this wire and went into this place here, this bank here, or it didn't. So if the switch was on, then the current went through the wire into this bank. If the switch was off, the current didn't go through the wire into this bank. And that's how they programmed computers back then. Flipping switches. On or off. It's that simple. Zero is off and one is on. And every piece of information that my iPad, my phone, the Google Glass, the computers we use, every computer in the world at its base level speaks binary. It's a language that makes everything amongst the computers common. So, how are you going to get everybody in the world to think the same way? There's actually, let me show it to you. Take a look at this. Those of you who are Star Trek fans,
I am Locutus of Borg. Resistance is futile.
In the Star Trek The Next Generation series, they introduced an alien race called the Borg. Basically, it's based on the phrase cyborg, a robot. All right, the Borg traveled around in this cube. A cube is a very, very powerful symbol in the Illuminati and the occult, because it folds out. It's got six sides. It's the number six, and it folds out and make a cross, which is an X chromosome. Think about that. Anyway, they travel around in the cube, and the Borg go around looking for civilizations and planets with species on them, and they overcome them. They bring them into the collective by giving them electronic parts. And every Borg doesn't have the idea that they are a unique person. They belong to the one, the collective. Like a hive mentality. That's what socialism and communism, that's the goal and the dream of communism and socialism, is that everybody belongs to the collective and everybody has the exact same thing and they all have the same mind and speak the same language and do all the same things, and they're run by the queen. That's what the Borg was. The hybrid of humans and technologies. That's what made them all think the exact same thing. Just like schools of fish, when one fish, just think of beasts, think of how some animals in the animal world exist, how they thrive. These little fish here don't do well outside of the collective. When one fish decides to turn, they all just instantaneously turn. They all think exactly alike. So I want you to get this. I want you to think about this. Here, man was designed by God to have this individualistic mindset. This is my body, my life, my eyes, my brain, my hands. This is my Bible. This is my money. I worked for it. I earned it. It's mine. It doesn't belong to anybody else. Think about what's going to prevail here in these last days. We're going to take, just like these fish, we're going to take everybody, and we're going to reduce them down to the Borg, just like beasts, so that everybody loses identity, self, possession, rights, freedoms, all to be part of the collective. Now, I want to show you, this is, you're going to like this. I want to show you how easy it is to imagine the concept of unification, e pluribus unum, out of many, one. Watch this, okay? I have four, what we call quarters in America. They're worth 25 cents, okay? Let's say that I didn't want to carry a pocket full of change, because it takes four of these to make one of these. And I don't want to carry a pocket of change around. So I've got four quarters, and I go to my wife, honey, if you got a dollar bill, I'll give you four quarters. She said, okay. So here's what I do. We take this represents humanity. Okay? Here is people on the four quarters of the earth. And these are Christians, and these are Jews, and these are Muslims, and these are everybody else. And they're not all getting along, and they're all just loose out here, and they make a vain jangling together. Okay? So what is the goal of unification? How are they going to do it? Actually, we don't realize that when you take all of these together, and you're going to make them one, that's what this is. This is these individuals all brought together to become this. Does that make sense to you? And by the way, what do we call this? When it's in our pockets, we don't say coins, we don't say quarter pieces, we call this change. So we take this and change it. Let's say you collect pennies. I didn't want to put 100 pennies on the desk, that's why I didn't do it. But you save all your pennies. Every time you get loose change, there's the word, you put it in a big jar, and you go to the bank and you roll it up. You never go to McDonald's and hand them 15 or 30 rolls of pennies. You never do that. You go to a bank somewhere that you bank at, and they'll probably do it for free, and you say, I want to change this into this. And that's what they're going to do. That's the concept of change. It's the concept of unification into the new world order. They're going to take all these people and they're going to change them in this. Now, I'll tell you that that's not such a bad idea and a bad concept. Because after all, think about how many true Christians there are in this world. How many? I don't know the number. I'm just thinking that there are quite a few true born-again Christians. And I would say that probably some from all kinds of different walks and backgrounds, different religious ideas that they came from, and now they believe the truth of the Word of God. But the truth of it is, whether we like to admit it or not, there really isn't a great deal of unity amongst God's true saints. We all see things a little differently, and we're all, to be honest with you, we're all just kind of keep a distance from one another because We could all say, well, we all believe the King James Bible. Then you start talking about eschatology and the rapture and the second coming. Boy, then you'll say, well, I don't go along with that. I don't believe that. I think we're just going to separate here. Does God love both of you? Absolutely. So here's the thing. Jesus actually prayed that we would be one. It hasn't happened yet. But it will, according to 1 Corinthians 15:51, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. And I want you to think about what Jesus prayed and how it's going to happen. How it's going to happen is we're going to be changed. That's how it's going to happen here. Mankind is going to be changed into something, turned into beasts, turned into the Borg. That's what's going to happen. But let's look at what Jesus said about what his desire was. And it's going to come to pass. Doesn't need us to do it. He's going to do it. John chapter 17. This is the prayer that Jesus prayed before he went and died on the cross. He's praying for his disciples. John 17:10. All mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. And I want you to notice that term, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. And I don't care what kind of false doctrine you think you stand on. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. That's what I believe in. And here's Jesus. Unless you think that Jesus has split personality, he is actually praying to his Father, and he said that they may be one as we are. I and my Father are one. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. It's what the King James Bible says, and I just believe what it says. So, Jesus prayed that through God's name, Holy Father, that those that he gave him would be one as Jesus and the Father are one. And I'm looking forward to that because I love my brothers. I love the brethren. I love church people. I love pastors who are preaching the old time way. But we don't agree on everything. We really don't. One of these days, we're going to be changed. Then we're going to all think exactly alike because the Word now will not be here on paper. And you know how it is. We're going to study John. Well, we studied John. We forgot most of what 1 Peter said and what it talked about. I mean, that's how it is. So we don't all know everything that can be known yet. One of these days, God's going to take this book. Instead of being on pages that we forget, he's going to put it on the inward part of us and we'll know everything. And we'll all speak the same thing and have the same mind and we'll all be one, just like Jesus and the Father are one. That's this concept over here, only they're not going to use the Bible. They're going to use the prince of the power of the air, the ghost that's in the machine. That's what they're going to use. Then he said it in John 17:20, neither pray I these for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Isn't that beautiful? That's such a glorious time. So remember, everything that God does, here's the counterfeit. And here's something that absolutely blew my mind when I considered it. Jesus actually said back in John 17:11, I come to thee, Holy Father. And he said it was through thy name, Holy Father, that they may be one as we are one. Through the name, Holy Father. And it's like the Holy Spirit was going, Mike, do you remember who it is that says that they're the Holy Father? And I went, and you remember what they're doing right now? Take a look at this. This is the guy, the man that has made himself God. He is the vicar of Christ. He is called the Holy Father. That, to me, that's called blasphemy. He actually has, just like Revelation 13 said about the beast, he has the name of blasphemy. He calls himself, and he is called by 1 billion, in fact, probably more than that, people on this planet, he's called the Holy Father. And what's he trying to do right now? What is the Holy Father, the Pope? What's he's the replacement. He's the Antichrist. He is another Jesus. Making himself that he is God, that he is the Holy Father. What is he trying to do right now? What did Jesus say the Holy Father was doing in John 17? It was through that name that all of us who believe in Christ would be one as they are one. Check this Holy Father out. He's trying to do the same thing. Pope Francis and Shimon Peres discussed the establishment of a United Nations of Religions. Last Thursday, Pope Francis and former Israeli President Shimon Peres met for an extended 45-minute private conversation. The focus of this discussion was a proposal by Peres to establish a United Nations of Religions. What's he trying to do? He's trying to see all these different philosophical ideas. You got Masonry, and you've got the New Age, and you've got all of this, the Mormons. You've got all of this junk scattered around. They're all different religions. Well, Holy Father, why don't you lead the charge and let's get all of the religions together? Let's do that. And again, how are you going to do that? Because last time I checked, all of us good Christians, Bible believers, we got our heels dug in. We're not going anywhere. And to think that we're going to get along with the Muslims? Are you crazy? It's not going to happen the way things are today. But it is going to happen. Something's going to change the thinking of every human being on the planet. Something is going to shift their paradigm. It's the singularity that's going to do that. Here is the Pope, the Holy Father. Do you recognize any people in this picture here? Here we have, oh look, next to the Holy Father, the Antichrist Pope, you have Kenneth Cope, you have Cope, and the Pope together, Kenneth Copeland, and boy, Kenneth Copeland and Pope Francis, those are short guys, aren't they? They look much taller on TV, don't they? You ever notice that? Kenneth Copeland and the Pope, and oh, standing there back to the left in the back row is James Robeson, the popular talk show host on Trinity Broadcasting Network. What's he doing there? Then you have over there behind Kenneth Cope, standing there in the back, John Arnott, the leader of the airport church in Toronto, Toronto Airport Church. It's a vineyard church, charismatic. John Arnott is responsible for the Toronto blessing, this massive outpouring of a drunken spirit. Where everybody acts drunk in the church. That bottle of wine spilled out down to Pensacola, Florida, and the Brownsville Assembly of God doing the same thing. And people all over the country, all over the world, were going to Brownsville, and they were going to Toronto, and they were getting drunk. Where did the wine come from? Came from a cup that Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, holds in her hand. So here you have all these charismatic leaders. What do charismatics all have in common? They all speak the same language. The problem is nobody knows what they're saying. And they're all drunks. Some even physically, but all of them spiritual drunks. John Arnott, Kenneth Copeland, James Robeson, and all these others. This is basically just a conglomeration of charismatic daughters or charismatic leaders that now that they've jumped in bed with the harlot, that's what Paul said. Know you not that he that hath joined himself with the harlot is become one with that harlot? See how it works? The Holy Father is bringing together all of the religions to himself so that everybody can be one. It's the goal and the role of the Holy Father. There we have an astounding new vision of humanity's future. This is the World Alliance of Religions. Their initials are W-A-R, war. And that's just kind of ironic, don't you think? World Alliance of Religions, United Nations of Religions, let's all be together, let's all be one. Rick Warren going around, here he is speaking at an Islamic gathering, talking about how his God and their God, why? It's the same God. Now, at some point, we must have all gone wrong because, really, we all worship the same God. I featured a video on Pastor Mike Online one time, one of the bigwigs of the Seventh-day Adventist movement, telling everybody that Allah, the name Allah, is actually closer to what the Hebrews believed than the term God. He said God and Lord are pagan terms. We actually should be worshiping Allah. Brian Houston of the Hillsong. Well, I think that we all worship the same God. I think the God Allah of the Islam and the God of our Bible is the same God. Brian Houston, Hillsong. They're all singing the same tune. And they're all talking about how we all worship the same God. And the ringleader of all of this is the Holy Father. Here is an ecumenical advocacy group called One. That's their name, One. We have One Magazine from the Free Will Baptist. We have the One Conference. Unite, Ignite, Impact. Bring everybody together. Who we have here? Francis. Francis Chan. We have standing there next to him, Brian Houston of Hillsong. We all worship Allah. And you have Greg Laurie, the disciple of Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel. And I don't know who these other guys are, but you all know these names, don't you? And they got all the well-paid religious leaders of the world who have the ministry outlets, who have the media, who have the TV shows, who write the books, who control the radio stations, telling everybody in the world, let's all be one religion. Let's forget about all the denominational lines. Let's forget about doctrine. Let's forget about this. And let's join our Holy Father to be one. This dream has been going on for years. Here is Robert Mueller, who was the Assistant Secretary General to the United Nations. He wrote a book called The New Genesis, New Beginnings, New World. Think about it. Here's what he said. What the world needs today is a convergence of the different religions in the search for and definition of the cosmic or divine laws which ought to regulate our behavior on this planet. Worldwide spiritual ecumenism, expressed in new forms of religious cooperation and institutional arrangement in the United Nations or UNESCO for a dialogue and cooperation between religions. There is a famous painting and poster which shows Christ knocking at the tall United Nations building wanting to enter it. I often visualize in my mind another even more accurate painting, that of a United Nations which would be the body of Christ. Are you catching this? I would also like to see published someday a Bible which would show how the United Nations is a modern biblical institution bent on implementing worldwide the wise precepts and divine commandments of the Bible I would like to see the same thing done for all great religious or sacred books such as the Quran, the Granth Sahib, and etc. Did you see what he said? He said that he imagines that the United Nations and all the religions coming together to form the body of the One. That's what he said. And he said this, I think this was probably, somebody actually sent me a copy of this book, and I want to tell you, thank you for those of you, for you who sent it. Had it not been for you sending that book, I would have never seen this. I was just picked it up and flipped through it, and I landed on that page right there. God was in it. But the goal here is, according to him, is to unite all the people of the world through the United Nations to make them all the body of his Christ, his New Age Christ, the One. So already, the concept that everybody should be joined together electronically is practically the only way that it really could be done. The goal and the vision of those who are part of the New World Order, those devils who are trying to bring this all about, trying to join all the world's religions under a man who calls himself God, a man who calls himself Holy Father. We'll see in the end which Holy Father gets his way when it's all said and done. Okay? But now you see, now you get it, now you understand that all this technology stuff, it actually has spiritual things behind it. It's not just, wow, we figured out how to do this. Isn't that cool? This all has religious connotations. It all does. And it's the goal of their unholy father to bring everybody together to be the body of a new age Christ who's going to rule the world. We know him as the Antichrist, son of perdition, man of sin, the beast, the Assyrian, the idol shepherd. That's who that really is. This is where the singularity comes into play. And I haven't explained that word yet, okay? But that's where it comes into, the singularity, and that's what it's all about, all right? We'll explain that a little bit more next week. We're going to talk a little bit more about how technology has made its advancements over the years. I did a little research and just kind of going back a few years to see how we got to where we are now and then see where we're going. We're going to talk about Ray Kurzweil, one of the ringleaders of this. And this guy is taking, I'm not making this up, 200 pills a day he swallows, trying to keep his body alive long enough so that he can become a god. And that's actually what he said. Anyway, we'll talk about it next week. This is Pastor Mike. I hope you learned something today. Decide whose side you're going to be on. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.